Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. Welcome to Chip Health. I'm Charles Mills. We have a topic that we want to cover again today. We talked about it a little bit last time on the program, and that is cholesterol. The reason we talk about it is because it is so important to your health. It is so important as an indicator of what's going on inside of you, your cholesterol numbers. And Dr. Diehl is here to talk about how we can examine our cholesterol, how we can understand the numbers involved, and more important, how we can do something about the problem, because, you know, heart disease, number one killer in this country, and cholesterol is tied directly into that. So the more we know about cholesterol and the more we know about dealing with cholesterol and hopefully lowering it and stabilizing it, the better health we will enjoy. Dr. Diehl, last time you mentioned that we have different kinds of cholesterol, the HDL, the good protective one, the LDL, the bad particles that build up in the arteries, and even the VLDL, triglycerides, which are blood fats. And you said that we need to be cognizant of these numbers. Now, again, just for review, tell us what the numbers would be if you had the power to change everyone's numbers into where you want them to be. What would they be?
You know, the very best way to assess the risk of heart disease before disaster strikes is by looking at the total blood cholesterol levels. That's number one, and that should ideally be below 150.
Okay.
And then you want to look also at the HDL numbers, which should be above 50 or so. The higher that is, it seems, the more protective it is.
Okay.
And then number three, you have the LDL. That's the little devil. That's the dangerous atherogenic particle, and that should be below 90 or 80. So here is then my suggestion to you. Try to get these numbers as low as you can, and don't rely on the so-called normal numbers that are normal for our society. When you have a cholesterol of 200, oftentimes it is the clinical assessment that says to you, well, you have 205, you're doing fine, you're normal. Let me tell you, you are only normal for people that normally die of a heart attack, and you don't want to be normal.
You don't want to be dead and normal at the same time. Okay. All right.
That's right. Because when we go to countries like China, or formerly, you know, the way Japan used to live and have its health indicators, when you go to these kind of countries, you would find that the people there have cholesterol levels of 80 and 90 and 100 for the total cholesterol, while we are satisfied with 200.
Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact, when I went to school some years back, we were taught that up to 300 was normal.
Ooh.
Because most people have or had these numbers or up to 300.
Yeah.
So we cannot use a normal distribution for our society where every second person, every third person has some heart attack as being normal. We need to go to values for cholesterol that are in those societies normal for people where they don't have heart disease. And when you do this, then a normal cholesterol in these societies where they're devoid of heart disease, you find numbers of, like I said, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120. Just think, in our society, when people found cholesterol was between 180 and 210, we thought that was pretty good, wasn't
it?
Yeah. 180 to 210.
Yeah.
And yet, 25% of all the heart attacks in our society occur in these so-called low or normal cholesterol ranges. Normal, ideal, optimal needs to be redefined based on international data, and we want to see that below 150, 160.
This is something I think about often because, you know, we have a government who is giving us what normal is. We have a government who is saying what normal is, and a lot of us are living a normal life and dying because we're living a normal life. I hear you saying that not only in cholesterol counts, but also in blood pressures, also in heartbeats and the measure of the human human body in operation. We have the numbers skewed. A normal person should not be normal as described by the country that we're living in right now, where normal is deadly. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, you know, we've done a real wonderful trick with level of what is a desirable weight.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the 1959 Metropolitan Life Insurance tables, where they look at the risk of disease versus ideal or not ideal weight, mm-hmm. when you look at these desirable weights, they're totally different from what we have today.
Yes.
Because, you know, in some ways it seems that we don't want to have a national depression because everybody's overweight. Yeah? So we just elevate the normal desirable weights to make us feel a bit better. But, you know, even that doesn't work because, you know, today, two-thirds, almost 70% of our adult population over 20 years of age, over 70% is either overweight or obese. I mean, we are really struggling with an abundance of extra pounds. And so we need to look for normality that relates to health numbers and perhaps not so much defined by our society, but perhaps by international data. And so that's why I've made such a big point about cholesterol numbers that are normal in our society, are largely normal for people that normally die from heart disease, and you don't want to be normal. You want to be optimal, you want to be ideal, and that is 100 plus your age.
And I can assume, Dr. Deal, that this also folds over into the, quote, recommended, end quote, definitions that we are given. The recommended amount of salt, the recommended amount of fat, the recommended amount of sugar. We need to really look at these things from a new standpoint because these are based on skewed perceptions of what normal is. So we need to be very careful about that.
You know, you mentioned salt. Let me use it as an illustration to make my point here. The American population takes in 10 times more salt than the body needs.
Wow.
So we take in 10 times more sodium, the particle of salt that is responsible for the high blood pressure and so on. So we take 10 times more, about 10 grams of salt a day. But it was just last year that American Medical Association finally came around and said we should really have much, much less. And the recommendations were made that we should probably go below 4 grams of salt.
Right.
So we need to look at redefining what is normal for real health rather than what you normally find in a Western society.
Yeah. Okay. That's very important, listener. Remember that we are where we are because we are trying to be normal according to what we're told. And we're saying, look, let's redefine it. Very, very good, Dr. Deal. Okay, cholesterol. Now, we have identified where cholesterol comes from, and that is the food that we're eating. We're identifying entire nations who changed their diet and their cholesterol levels and their heart disease plummeted. And then when they changed back, and this, we're talking about World War II here, when they changed back to eating all the foods they had before the war, their heart disease went right back up again. What is it? What is it about cholesterol that is so damaging? We talked about hardening of the arteries. Are there other things that cholesterol indicate that all is not well in our bodies, Dr. Deal?
Well, the cholesterol becomes a general indicator of how we live, isn't it?
Yes.
And you know, it's very interesting. Cholesterol, dietary cholesterol, is only found in animal products.
Okay.
So if you have a fairly high cholesterol number, you have to be suspicious that you are using a diet that is fairly high in animal products.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when you have animal products, they're usually also fairly high in fat.
Yes.
So when you have a high-fat diet, you have to be concerned about overweight. And when you have overweight, you have to worry about all the other problems, right?
Yes.
And so the cholesterol intake, which then is also reflected in the cholesterol in the bloodstream, becomes a general marker of our diet and with that of our general health.
Yeah.
So we then recommend, since cholesterol is found only in animal products, maybe we should increase our plant food intake because you don't have any cholesterol in plants. You have no cholesterol in fruits or in vegetables or in whole grains or in beans. Cholesterol is only found in animal products. So maybe we should perhaps cut back on some of these animal products.
When we do that, when we increase our plant products and we decrease our animal products, we touched on this on our last show, are we going to see changes happen slowly over time? Do they happen rapidly? What's the turnaround time as far as cholesterol is concerned here when we change our diet?
Oh, no, no. The results are very fast. I mean, you can see a 10% drop in cholesterol in 10 days.
Wow.
I mean, people think they have to do this for 6 months. No, no, no. In our CHIP program, where we have 4 weeks of instruction, and we take cholesterol and other indicators, of course, before the program starts. And then after the program, when it concludes, within 4 weeks, we find that cholesterol levels drop by 15 to 35% consistently.
That's amazing.
The results are very rapid. And anybody can try this out. It's a very easy thing to do. All you have to do is seek out your physician and say, would I like to have my cholesterol check? Would you do me a lipid profile? Okay. Lipid stands for fat cholesterol profile. I like to know the total cholesterol, my LDL cholesterol, my HDL cholesterol, and my triglycerides. Can you do me a lipid profile? And that's not a big deal. And then you have the numbers, you get them in 2, 3, 4 days, and you begin to follow the CHIP program. You get into a walking program, and you really begin to cut back on animal products, you cut back on refined foods, and you eat more high-fiber foods, more of the vegetables and the, you know, the raspberries and the blueberries, you know, the fruits. You eat more whole grains like wheat and hot cereal in the morning, these kind of natural foods, and more beans and lentils. And before you know it, within 4 weeks, you check your blood cholesterol again, and you will see a drop of 10. You know, maybe you haven't done it quite exactly the way we do it in the CHIP program, where we have daily instruction, but you will have a drop of 10 to 35% in 4 weeks. That means you will have reduced your coronary risk by 2 to 3 times. So if you lower it by 20%, that's 40 to 60% coronary risk reduction. Mm. You can cut your risk of a heart attack in half in 4 weeks. Good news?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what is happening when we do that? Are we actually removing plaque from the arteries? Are we thinning the blood? What is happening when we change our diet over to plant-based and we leave the animal stuff off? What physically is happening inside of us?
Well, a lot of other things are happening because the animal products are fairly rich in fat. You will take fewer calories in, so you begin to lose some weight. You will also lower your cholesterol. As that happens, the cholesterol inside the plaque, the internal rust inside the artery wall, begins to gradually come out, and with that you see a melting down gradually of the plaque so that more blood can flow through the arteries that are now opening up to the heart muscle and to other muscles and bring the nutrients that are needed and to give the best possible vital health level.
Wow, wow. Well, I want to take a break, and when we come back, Dr. Deal, I want to ask you an important question. Let's say that there is someone listening to this program right now, and the doctor has says, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have like 97, 98% blockage of one of your arteries there, and I think that you need to go in for a bypass surgery. We need to get a stent up in there. We need the balloon angioplasty. We need to get up there. We need to deal with this thing now. And then this same person just heard what you said. What should he or she do? Let's find out on our return. So everybody stay right where you are. Looking to build a lasting marriage? It's more than saying, I love you. It's more like showing, I respect you. Communication between spouses sometimes doesn't adequately reflect the caring that partners feel. Make it a daily habit to be cordial and polite. Forgive past wrongs and choose words carefully. Instead of saying, you never pick up your dishes after a meal, try, I really appreciate it when you help clean up the dishes after a meal. Show appreciation and respect.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Diehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Hans Diehl, founder director of the CHIP program. That's the Complete Health Improvement Program. And you can get more information, as the spot just told you, at chiphealth.org. Today we're talking about cholesterol. This is the second broadcast we're doing on this very important topic. And Dr. Diehl, I painted for you a picture of someone listening to this program whose doctor has said to him or her, you know, you need a stent. You need to get in there and get bypass surgery. You are on death's door. And you're saying that by changing the diets, they can lower this this problem. They can affect the heart disease. But they're afraid. A doctor is telling them you need a stent, you need to bypass, and you're saying you need to change your diet. Dr. Diehl, help us. What do we do under those circumstances? And do you have examples of someone who faced this very problem and dealt with it in a positive way?
You know, Charles, this is really a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
And,
yes, it is.
Know, we have to really defer these kind of clinical decisions to the local physician in harmony with a patient that is making an effort to become educated along these lines. Mm-hmm. Let me just give you a few points here. Number one, if you have a 95% narrowing in a certain area of the coronary artery tree, which we call the widowmaker, that's about 1 centimeter, about a half an inch of a common coronary vessel. If that is 95% narrowed, and it would be my dad, you know, I would say, Dad, you know, diet can help you. It can be a nice thing for you. But, you know, you are in a very precarious condition in your situation. You need to probably have some bypass surgery. Mm. You should be very grateful that we have very deft and very knowledgeable engineering-oriented people that can do a bypass for you and probably safeguard your life. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, if it was in another area and you have 95% narrowing, I would tell the patient, you know, do not panic. Mm. First of all, relax, because that vessel, that portion of the vessel, probably has been narrowed for 90-95% for several years, and it's not going to make a difference next week.
Interesting.
Now,
okay.
There is sometimes a tendency by my clinical colleagues, especially by surgical colleagues, they feel, I need to do this right away. But really, clinically speaking, there's hardly really a need for these immediate rushed jobs. We need to help patients to relax and to identify, first of all, where is the narrowing in the in terms of the coronary arteries. There are three coronary arteries. And then we have to ask the question, is there collateral vessels? Are there small vessels that I have in the area that can perhaps work like a natural bypass in some, in case something should happen? That becomes a very important question should be asked.
Yes.
We need to also become aware that a surgeon that has been trained for many, many, many years with great devotion to perform these kind of surgeries like bypass surgery and setting these stents, we have to recognize that when they see a narrowing of 70, 80, 90%, their immediate reaction is, I have to get in there.
Yeah.
I have to do something. This person is going to die. And you see, when they have no understanding, really, by and large, they have had no background in the area of lifestyle medicine, nutritional medicine, when they have been trained to see their avenue of service in providing a surgical intervention, if that's the only tool that they have in their toolbox to deal with that disease, if the hammer is the only tool in the toolbox, then the whole world becomes a nail.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yes.
What I mean is when you only are trained to do bypass surgery and you're very good at it and you have seen lives turned around, especially with that special area that I mentioned to you earlier with the widowmaker, then you have an unbounded faith in your procedure. I got the hammer and I got to nail this thing. And what we're seeing today is that probably 70 to 80% of all the bypass and stents are probably not needed. If people would first of all relax, and then begin to read books like the book by Dr. Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic that says how to prevent and reverse heart disease. If they would read the book by Dr. T. Colin Campbell called The China Study, if they would perhaps take a look at our book called Health Power,
yes,
which you can find on our website, when they begin to read this, their eyes begin to open up that there is more than just the hammer to nail this thing. In many cases, you have an opportunity to activate the self-healing mechanism of the body, and you can begin to let these plaques begin to shrink and to melt down as you don't feed the body the foods that cause the shrinking of the intraluminal space, the inside of the arteries.
Wow, that is a fantastic word of advice from you, Dr. Deal. That is wonderful. This is something that I've wondered about all my life since we started talking about this. You know, when do you act? When do you not act? When do you rush to the doctor? When do you rush to the grocery store? And you've just identified that there is an area where if the problem is in that area, that widowmaker area, then it's time for some rather radical action. You are in an acute situation. Mm. But if you're in a chronic situation where things are building up and the problems are being mitigated by the body itself, by creating these collateral areas that for the blood can get through. And if you're alive and you seem to be functioning pretty good, relax and just learn how to take care of it through proper diet, exercise, and going through the CHIP program. Excellent advice, Dr. Deal. Thank you very, very much. That was wonderful.
You know, we want to be very, very careful that we, as patients that are facing this situation, that we're dealing with our physicians, with our surgeons, in a very gentle and in a very illuminated manner. Mm-hmm. This is not where you oppose your surgeon and say, no, look, I read this and this. You say, you know, have you been aware of this? You know, here's the Cleveland Clinic, famous for bypass surgery, where it was invented. Mm-hmm. And here's Dr. Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic showing that you can actually reverse this disease. He took 20 patients, and today 19 of these patients are still alive after 20 years. They were walking dead 20 years ago. You can read in the book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. We have classic examples all over the place. Dr. Dean Ornish was the first one. Nathan Pritikin laid the foundation for this in the 1970s. Ornish in the 1990s actually published the first data that he was able to show that he could reverse coronary artery disease. He could open up these arteries. He could increase the blood flow to the heart muscle. And within weeks, he was able to reduce and oftentimes discontinue the angina pain in the chest because of these narrowed arteries. He could do this in weeks oftentimes. How? By giving them a very simple diet of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and whole grains and legumes and leaving out foods that have cholesterol, foods that are high in fat, refined engineered foods and animal products. And you know, he used that same diet 3 years ago and gave it to people with prostate cancer. And within 1 year, he was able to show that most of these patients had their prostate cancer dramatically improved, their PSA values had dramatically declined, and here's the point, and the genes that were responsible in influencing the development of these prostate cancers, the genes had been turned off.
Amazing.
By
Amazing.
The dietary components. This is, again, a powerful vindication that we are not stuck with our genetics.
Yes.
We're not stuck with our genes, but we can modify the genes. There are switches on the genes that we can turn off and on. And what causes the switching off and on? How we live, how we diet, how we eat, how we smoke, how we eat. So our dietary, our lifestyle in general, has a very powerful opportunity to become the jockey that rides the horse and directs it. So we're not stuck with our genes, but we can direct them, we can suppress them, we can foster the good genes to help us, and we can suppress the bad genes that promote our diseases.
My,
good news?
That is absolutely good news.
That is absolutely.
Let me stay here just for one more question for you, Dr. Deal. If you go to your doctor and you say, hey, doctor, and you know this guy or woman, and you have been had a good relation with him, and you say, you know, hey, would you consider checking this out, you know, for me? Would you look at this book, Dr. Campbell's book, Dr. Esselstyn's book? And if that doctor says, you know, I don't have time for this, you know, the only way to do it is the way I say, Is it time for a new doctor, Dr. Deal? I'm throwing some tough questions at you, Dr. Deal, because these are the questions that people are asking today, especially after they hear this program.
What you do, you call the Cleveland Clinic and you say, may I be connected to Dr. Esselstein at the Wellness and Reversal of Heart Disease Center. And you talk to Dr. Esselstein, and then you talk to him and say, what shall I do? Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to talk to my physician? Can I give my physician your phone number? Would you have a professional discussion about this? And you stay out of it.
Yeah.
Because you cannot win against your physician.
No.
No, you can't. Okay. But you can become educated in better understanding that there are new concepts that have emerged in the last 10, 20 years that your physician may not be as comfortable with, and he may not be trained in those kind of concepts. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing the best that he knows. But I think you have an opportunity to take care of yourself. It is your body. It is your heart. A bypass, listen, 15 to 25% of these bypass clog up within the first year.
Yeah.
That first year is very critical. And then when you have these stents, even these medication-oriented stents, you have about 40 to 45% likelihood that these stents no longer function within 6 months. And that's why we see today people that have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stents. I mean, they look like a metal jacket.
Yes, yes.
Because unless you augment a bypass that is necessary, unless you augment a stent that is really necessary with a significant lifestyle change, these benefits are only temporary. Mm-hmm. So whether you do it now or later, whether you do it before the bypass, before the stent or after, you got to make the lifestyle changes anyway. You got to move towards a diet that is a very simple diet that leaves out animal products, and particularly the poultry, the chicken, the white meat that we consider to be healthy. It's really not. It has exactly the same amount of cholesterol as red meat.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit better in the fat content, but folks, you have to be very careful. The American Heart Association is not going to do it for you because they say shift from red meat to white meat, cut back on eggs instead of 6 eggs a week, just or have 2 or 3 a week. That's not going to do it. When you have heart disease, you have to go all the way, and you have to read the book Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease by Dr. Esselstein. You see it on our website too. There are many, many films that we have there that you can take a look at. We're here to serve you and to help you with the CHIP program. We're here to help you to see that there are priceless benefits and proven results.
Yes.
President Clinton is now on this kind of a diet.
Amazing.
To help his own heart disease. You know, he doesn't want to trust anymore these stents. Folks, you are in very, very good hands, and perhaps it sounds too simple to be credible, but folks, you have a tremendous blessing right in front of you. If you're willing to open your eyes, do some reading, relax, and implement some lifestyle changes.
Okay, folks, listen, www.chiphealth.org. Check it out. Lots of good resources there for you. And until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Hans Deal, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.